welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my friends. What is up? How are you today? I hope today is a good day. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. We're here together. We're going to do some fun stuff today. Some fun stuff because we're going to talk about what I like to call the discomfort and conflict in awakening. And that can sound like a really heavy thing to talk about. But I got a really great invitation on how to talk about it from Christine, who sent us a speak pipe. And spoiler alert for all of you guys who don't love my swearing, today we're going to have to use the F word a lot because Christine's speak pipe pretty much opened with "fuck you, Nicole" in the nicest possible way. And so in producing this episode and talking about it, Lisa and I have over and over again called this the "fuck you, Nicole" episode, which we're enjoying. So I hope it doesn't offend you too much. I'll try to not say it every other word. But anyway, we're going to talk about awakening, transitioning, and the discomfort of turning the page and beginning the next chapter. And that's so fraught. It's not so simple as, yay, I've discovered journal speak and I know I'm going to be out of pain. Like, yes, of course, there's that. But there's so much attendant confusion and discomfort and anger and fear. And so we're going to get to all of that today on the Fuck You, Nicole episode. And I'm just delighted. Okay, so before I jump into it, I just want to tell you thank you for the incredible response I got to announcing the six-month membership community that I am beginning. And I think it's about three-quarters full already because of just last week's episode. So there are, I think, 20 spots left as of this moment when I'm recording this episode. If you are interested in being part of our first ever six-month membership. Just real quick, it is going to be a group of us, 99 total, so 100 including me. We are going to be meeting for 6 months. There will be one afternoon a month that we spend live together. There will be a private community that's just us. Nobody else will be able to join, where I'm going to be there every single day, getting to know you personally, asking and answering questions there. It's just going to be really cohesive. And I think by the end of the 6 months, not only will that be a community that you guys have to fall back on and to lean on probably for the rest of your life, but you will all know me and I will know you well. And I just think it's a really great way I'm setting it up. So I'm excited for it. So if you are interested in being part of our first pilot group, it's probably going to start on the first of the year. Email me at njsachs@gmail.com and put membership in the subject line and tell me you'd like to be on the wait list. I'll compile the wait list, and if it goes over the 99, then, you know, if people decide in the end that they're not going to do it, you will be able to move up on the wait list. But if you are interested, the first 99 people who sign up will be our first group. So just keep in mind, if you're interested, don't wait. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I am going to talk to you a little bit about awakening, and then we're going to play Christine's speakpipe because I think it's actually important to get her speakpipe at the front end of the episode so we can see exactly what we're working with and we can feel her energy. The one thing I'm going to say about awakening, and let me define that a little better for the moment. Awakening in the sense that I'm saying is that you are beginning to realize that there is more to pain and discomfort and diagnoses than meets the eye. You are starting to realize that there is a mind-body connection. And if there is indeed a mind-body connection, it is essential to understand what is going on in the heart and mind. Okay, great. On paper, that sounds like, okay, I can do that. But then you start to dig. And when you start to dig, you start to realize places that you have been repressing some feelings. And those feelings may be now alerting you that you have priorities that you have not felt comfortable sharing, or you have feelings that you have not felt comfortable prioritizing. It's just really disturbing sometimes how much we've dimmed our lights, how far down the totem pole we've put ourselves in the pecking order of people in our lives, how quiet we've been for convenience, how small we've made ourselves to not make other people feel threatened. And so these are just some examples, and we're going to get much more into it. But when you start figuring that out, it can lead to a bit of a crisis of conscience, which I think I hear in Christine's voice. And, you know, one thing I remember about listening to a lot of Ram Dass's lectures, who I'm a very, very big believer in, is that he used to say, in a very joking way, to lecture halls of people, whether it be at Omega or at Esalen or anywhere that he was speaking or teaching at throughout the country, he would say, if you can keep from awakening, do it. Don't wake up. It's hard here. It's challenging here. And then he would laugh and say, but considering you guys are in the room, it's already too late for you. So sorry. Me too. Buckle up. Let's figure out how to do this together. And so that's how I feel about you guys. If you're listening to this podcast, if you are a Christine, and if you have fuck you, Nicole, in the loveliest possible way sitting on your lips, it's because it's hard to awaken, but you're here because your path has brought you to a place where it's time to wake up, where your life was so small and conflicted in your heart space that your body had to take over and stop you in your tracks with pain. And it no longer became possible. And so, you know, although I do believe that there are options within awakening, I don't always think awakening is a choice. And so let's bring some compassion and some acceptance to that, because here we are. Okay, so before I get too deeply into this, let's listen to Christine's speak pipe, and then we'll talk on the other side.
Hey, Nicole. I say this with lots of love, but in my journal speak this morning, I wrote, fuck you, Nicole, because through the Omega retreat and journal speak practice that I do, I've got lots of clarity, and it comes quickly, and I feel like I can see the patterns in myself and others, but I'm really struggling with being right or having relationships. So use this if you want to discuss further, but I appreciate you, but I am raw and maybe ready for some more, but right now I want to go numb and ignorance is bliss. This is Christine. Take care.
Okay, Christine, I love you, honey, and I get it. I get it. I get it. Sometimes it feels like ignorance is bliss. Sometimes it feels like we want to numb out. And that can be a very difficult place to be. You know, I look at awakening like a hallway. So, you know, we open the door to the hallway because we saw the door. And, you know, we are curious animals, us human beings. And so when a door is revealed and we put our hand on the knob and start turning it, and it seems like that door is open, it's very hard not to turn that knob and open the door, because we are propelled with maybe intuition, or maybe a sense of something bigger than us, or maybe an impetus that we don't understand. We are propelled to grow. You know, it reminds me of those little green shoots that you see come up through pieces of concrete, cracks in the concrete. You know, we don't always choose to grow, but we are compelled and propelled to grow. And so we open that door and we look down the hallway, and something in that hallway draws us forward. So where Christine finds herself, I sometimes like to envision as within this dark hallway, because you walk into the hallway, you know that this is the way that you have to go, and you hear the door close behind you. Now, at first, you're not really frightened of the door closing behind you, because this is, you know, you've been propelled, compelled, you've been pushed forward by some invisible force, and you know this is the next right considered action to be in this hallway. But then you look behind you, and the door behind you is closed, and you're like, wait a second. What if I want to go back? What if it's scary in here? Because now you're looking down the hallway. It is, at this moment, perceptively endless. And you are scared. Maybe angry. Maybe panicked. Maybe regretful. Because you don't see the next door. You don't see the next window. You don't see the next left or right turn. All you see is an endless expanse of I don't know what. And that can be how it feels. And so let me bring connection to that. And let me also tell you, it's fucking great because you're on your way to everything you want. But right now in that moment, in this moment that Christine is in, it feels confusing, unmooring, upsetting, scary, rageful sometimes, because it's touching into the places in your life that you used to feel safe in the unsafest way. So let's talk about the places that we live when we're in chronic pain and conditions and how they are safe in the unsafest way. The first place we lived before was in our pain. You know, your migraines that kept you in bed, your back pain that made you miss, you know, or be able to cancel things, your stomach issues that led you to limit your life and not have to go to certain events or dinners that maybe you felt, you know, people were triggering you there. Your many different diagnoses that kept you relying on other people, asking for help, asking for love and attention, having an excuse to rest. And when I say these things, guys, please know, never, ever, ever am I diminishing these conditions. Am I saying they're in your head? Am I saying you're creating them, making them up, being dramatic? None of those things are true. It's just the facts that when we live in chronic conditions and pain, we are able, in a weird sort of easier way, to ask for help, to ask for rest, to ask for support, to be smaller. We are. And that can feel oddly safe, which is why the nervous system chooses it and why sometimes consciously we understand why we choose it. And like I said, it's an unconscious choice until it isn't anymore, but it's so easy to just make sense of it, I guess is what I'm saying. And so that's safe in the unsafest way. Okay. So that's one way that we, you know, when we're in this chronic conditions, keep ourselves stuck and static. Another thing that happens is that we are in chronic relationships. So the way we relate to our partners, the way we relate to our children, to our coworkers, to our bosses, to our parents, it's like this unspoken contract that we've been in for a lifetime. And it's safe in the unsafest way. Yeah, maybe you're swallowing your feelings every day, or maybe you are never prioritizing yourself, or maybe you're dimming your light constantly, but like this is the way it's always been. And it feels kind of oddly safe to just keep it there. This is the way people expect me to show up. That feels like the status quo. And you know, it's hard to buck the status quo. It's hard to rock the boat. But there's another place that we stay safe in the unsafest way. And here's the mourning that we have to go through when we awaken, which is we didn't necessarily choose to awaken, but we could no longer stay stuck. You know, I oftentimes talk about how life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, but I think sometimes the choice is made for us. You know, sometimes when it hurts more to stay than it does to go, and I say that in a metaphorical way because we're not always actually going anywhere, but maybe our minds or our hearts are going somewhere, we literally sometimes go without even our own permission. This is the nervous system. It's always, always operating underneath the surface. And so there is mourning. Sometimes there's even mourning for our pain, meaning like, maybe I literally don't know how to slow down without it. Maybe I am so triggered by my childhood abandonment and rejection by people around me and my family of origin, I literally don't know how to ask for help without being physically unwell because it feels too dangerous to ask for help otherwise, because what if people just say no and that will just feel too painful? It'll feel too much like my childhood, right? I mean, is anyone relating to this? Raise your hand. Maybe there's a mourning for your pain because you don't know how to be vulnerable and the pain allowed that for you. I so get that. I was allergic to vulnerability when I was young. I felt like my strength and my agency and my power and my worth came from the fact that I never showed my underbelly, that nothing made me sweat. It's not true, by the way. Spoiler alert for that. It's like the worst and so alone and so isolating to never show your vulnerability. I believe wholeheartedly with Brené Brown that vulnerability is strength. Our greatest strength is to show other people how we struggle and suffer and what we need and honestly ask for help. All of this stuff is so true for life and for a most explored, well-lived, and joyful life. However, I'm also like understand as much as anyone else how it feels really unsafe depending on how you were raised, you know, and like, okay, so there's another way to look at it. What if because of your pain, you did not have to look at your own ability to shine? What if looking at your own ability to shine is terrifying because you lose, you know, when you do, you don't have an excuse anymore for not making an effort, for not succeeding to the extent that you thought you should. There's so many ways that even though we have no idea, and even though we are not actively choosing that stuck place, when we lose it, there is a fuck you, Nicole, going on because there is like, wait, what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do with my relationships? Like Christine says, how am I not supposed to think I'm right after I've sat here and excavated and unpacked and deconstructed all these relationships? And I'm like, these people didn't treat me well. So there's a couple things in here. The first thing when we're talking about relationships is to remember that there is no one hand clapping in relationships. You know, there is no one person relationships. Of course, there's always a relationship with yourself, but there's no one hand clapping there either because you're always fighting yourself. So when we're in relationships, there's a role we play and there's a role the other person plays. And it's really important in this exercise to know that in our relationships, we have co-signed a lot of the poor behavior that we have received by carrying on the way we always have carried on. There is literally no shame in this. I can't tell you how many times I have known that I am perpetuating bad behavior by including myself in the contract. I got it. And it is okay to put yourself in a position of change and flux and growth as well. And so when you're in relationships and you are co-signing this bad behavior, that is another way of being stuck. That is another way of understanding yourself to be in a pecking order that is shutting you down. And your chronic pain would not allow you to feel the depth of that. And that's why it was holding space. That's why the nervous system was saying, no, migraine's better. Fibromyalgia better than knowing exactly how bright you are in there and how unable you feel to buck the system right now. So here we are. You know, your pain has put you in that position where it's pushed you to the edge. You are unable anymore to stay. It becomes more painful to stay than it is to go, metaphorically. So you trip across my work on social media, or you find a Sarno book, or you watched a YouTube video where someone was telling a success story about TMS, right? Something happened, woke you up. You didn't even really know you were asleep and you didn't necessarily want to wake up, but here you are. And then like Christine, maybe you come to one of my retreats or you read a book or you start a journal speak practice and you're like, okay, this is definitely what I need. I'm definitely seeing my pain diminish, but now what? How do I show up in this life that I have lived? And so the first thing I want to say to you, Christine, and everyone else that you need to remember is you have permission to renegotiate your contracts. You know, I want to bring connection to the way it feels, but I also want to live in the solution. We have all made contracts. with our parents, with our bosses, with our kids, that we have co-signed and agreed to hold up and execute our side of the bargain, maybe for a lifetime. And maybe you find yourself in that contract and you're having 10 migraines a month and you can't do it anymore. And, you know, when you get to the point where you've done this work and now you're not having those migraines, it is okay at a minimum to renegotiate, and at the worst, to at least fear you might have to break your contracts entirely. And that is where your journal speak comes up, because this is never about disowning your family or running from your children. Sorry, I have to learn to turn that off on my computer. Running from your children or quitting your job, it is never about that. And when I used to speak on the Sarno panel, people would raise their hand all the time and say, Nicole, Dr. Sarno, whomever, I get it. I'm awake now, but I cannot quit this job. I don't want to leave my marriage. I can't stay the same, but I don't want to change my whole life. And that's where journal speak comes in. And it will continue to be the gift that keeps on giving, because you can go into those spaces in your journal speak and say, I'm afraid I can never speak to my mother again, because I know too much about the way I feel about her. And I know too much about the way I've been treated. And I know too much now from my own work on myself, how much that shaped my current relationships. Now I resent her for taking the shit I've taken in my marriage and how I've raised my kids. And I mean, already, right? You can feel the heaviness of this. However, you take this to your journal speak. You're able to play it out, to write it out. Don't hide from these big feelings, Christine, and everybody else that come up as we awaken. They are the stepping stone to the next moment in your path. And as you step onto the next stone, the next one will be revealed. That's what we're doing here. That's the faith I want you to start to cultivate, is that you are safe to keep walking. I promise. Because you don't have to leave your relationships and you will not hate yourself. You just have to slowly learn how to be important, how to shine, how to be heard and known, how to be known. Do you know how powerful it is to be known? Do you know how often we have to shut that down in order to live with the contracts we had previously signed? You have permission to renegotiate your contracts. First, you have to get honest with yourself and write with yourself in your journal speak. You got to really know. And then, of course, when you know, then you can move toward boundary setting and honest conversations. You know, one thing that I want to say when it comes to relationships within this awakening process is honest conversations that you are prepared for, because you've journal spoken and maybe spoken with a therapist or a trusted friend or what have you. They're really life-changing. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with my children and said something like, you know, the Maya Angelou, I didn't know I was doing this, honey. But when you know better, you do better. And now I know better. So now I know that the way I used to speak to you or maybe put you in a certain box, that was actually a result of my own struggle. I'm embarrassed to say that I was actually treating you a certain way because I was still sort of unconsciously hung up on how my parents treated me. And I was doing that to you, and I actually don't want to do that to you anymore. But that took the form of having really loose boundaries with you, or that took the form of saying yes when I really wanted to say no, or that took the form of fearing that you weren't going to like me and want to be my friend as well as my child if I, you know, decided this or that. I'm kind of making it up. I'm kind of not, but it's, you know, it's a million different situations, you know, sort of boiled down into what I'm saying. And having to say to that child in that moment, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to be able to show up like that anymore because it's really not okay with me. And it really never was okay with me, but I thought that this was the contract we were in and I had to uphold it. I need to renegotiate that contract. I need to say that I'm going to be drawing more boundaries and it might be uncomfortable. You might not like it because you might think this is not the way mommy always has shown up. But I know better now and I'm just going to do better. And guys, Christine, all of us, it's okay. It's okay to get right in your journal speak, to bring those conversations honestly to the people in our lives. It's allowed. And it's essential. You know, it's more than just allowed. It's essential because here's the thing. Here's another thing about awakening. I don't think anyone's going to choose back to go back to their chronic pain, really. Yes, of course. You know, we all want option three. We all want to do everything the same as we've always done it and also not have any pain. You know, because option one would be do things the same as you've always done it. Option two would be do things differently, but deal with whatever consequences it is, you know, you have to change your life that happen. And option three is no, I don't want to do anything differently, but I want to have all my pain go away and all my relationships be great. And like, that's just, there is no option three ever, ever, ever. I talk about this a lot in my Freedom from Chronic Pain course to help you get in the right mindset to do this work. There is no option three. If we're going to do the work, we're going to change. And yay, change, but also, oh, change. You guys know. So anyway, it's important that you know that you have permission to renegotiate your contracts, and it's also important to know that you deserve it. Sweetheart, my love, you deserve it. You deserve to be important. You deserve to prioritize yourself. You deserve to be here as much as everyone else deserves to be here. So I want to read you a quote that I love from Marianne Williamson that I used to have up on my mirror over there. And then it just got like all tattered and I had to take it down. But I love this quote. And just before I read it, I do want to say, anytime you hear me say the word God, you know, God means everything, means different things to everybody. And whatever God is for you, if God is God, if God is God in your heart, if God is the air and the trees and the universe and your highest being, whatever, listen to this with your heart. And if you haven't heard it, it's pretty powerful because this is the reason why we renegotiate our contracts. And this is the reason why our pain took us to that beautiful precipice of the truths that have been awaiting our acknowledgement, because it's not time to live small anymore. It's just not. And I'm sorry, Christine, and I can take your abuse because I understand why you're angry, and I also understand why you're exactly where you need to be, because every single thing that you want is down that hallway. Every joy, every presence, every connection into relationships, every relationship you actually wanted, not just the status quo of the shitty sometimes ones that we have, the ones we want with the same people sometimes. And you will be astonished how people can change. You know, if an equation is A plus B equals C, if you change A or B, yourself or the other person in the relationship, C, which is the relationship, must change. Flux in one side of the equation equals flux in the other. See, guys, how I can do complicated math? I can. Okay, so I'm going to read you this quote that I love. Okay. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Right? Dude, that is the stuff. That is how I live my life. And it is hard sometimes. It is hard to show up and to be the light because other people sometimes don't like it. And other people sometimes say, but wait a second, you weren't always the light. Sometimes you were just the person who did everything for me and never asked for your own needs to be met. I get it. I've been that person, believe it or not. You have permission to renegotiate your contracts. Who are you not to renegotiate your contracts? Are you not a person who is a role model for others? You know, one of the greatest things I ever read that Glennon Doyle wrote is when she was talking about leaving her marriage to Craig and with Craig, and she said, I was staying in this marriage for my children until I asked myself, would I want this marriage for my children? And so, you know, I pose the same question to you, Christine, and to everyone else. I know you're struggling with your relationships as you awaken, and I know you're struggling with being right, but like, would you want those who look to you to tolerate those old relationships and those old shutting ourselves down? Like, it doesn't mean you go hog wild and take everyone out, you know, verbally and abusively. No, it's about saying gently and with compassion and self-compassion, why don't I just change? Why don't I just allow myself to be in a space of what's better rather than allow for those old behaviors? And when you ask that question, why, the answer is really lovely. The answer is because everything I want is on the other side of this, and I don't want to live small anymore. So this is the thing I want to pose out to you guys today. I want to ask you to help me because I am now, not that Christine Speakpipe is the beginning of this conversation I'm having with Lisa and in my work. It's really a great catalyst to talk about relationships because I do think that we are social animals. We unconsciously always will choose to relate to others because of evolutionary norms. You know, we need each other to survive because of biological norms. We are drawn into relating with others because of societal norms and familial norms of connecting and being together. Our relationships make up 95% of our lives, whatever relationships we're in. And so, you know, we can't survive on our own. And so oftentimes we force ourselves to conform to what we believe is needed. And there's so much complexity that goes on in relationships. So I want to ask you guys some questions. I really, really want your help. Remember that my SpeakPipe web address is www.speakpipe.com/NicoleSachs. And I want you to go to that SpeakPipe and I'm going to give you some ideas that I want you to talk about, okay? How has your TMS work affected your relationships? That's one prompt. And by the way, it could be anything within these questions that I'm asking. What contracts have you had to renegotiate or are you scared to renegotiate? Have you done so successfully or not? When you do your journal speak and come closer to your truth, what have you discovered about your role in your relationships? Maybe a good question is, how have you sacrificed who you are? Have you made yourself smaller to serve others? Have you dimmed your light? And maybe how has this affected your pain journey? What behaviors do you engage in for the good of your marriage, your kids, and your parents that require you to repress, distract, or maintain your relationship to pain and all the things that keep you safe in the unsafest way? These are big questions. I want you to back this podcast up and listen to them again and just take a moment, maybe journal speak. This could be a little assignment should you choose to take it. Journal speak for 20 minutes on one or two or many of these topics. Like, get yourself clear. This is such a great way to move forward. This is such a great way to not have to say F you to me all the time because you are like seeing the benefit of what you're doing. But most importantly for me, I really want to create content for you that's helping. And I'm very, very deeply contemplative right now about relationships. So replay those questions and get on the speak pipe and give me some input, because I want to speak back to everything that you need. And sharing this with us helps, because we're creating a framework that we want to share. And when we know what you want, we can deliver the content that gets underneath those issues and how, and we help the community support one another. So this is all really important stuff. So so help me help you. That would be really wonderful. All right, my loves. Well, I'm sorry that my computer keeps giving me alerts. It's really annoying, and I'm going to figure out, actually go into my settings and turn that off. Wish me luck. I'm not a technology girl. All right, my loves. Well, if you are interested in joining the membership community, please go to my email, njsax@gmail.com. Send me an email with the subject line membership in it. Oh, and also I forgot to say this. My Omega retreat just went live. I'm going to be posting all about this on social media. Come follow me at Nicole Sax LCSW on Instagram so you can get all that information. And I'm also going to be posting a lot about it on my community on Facebook, my private community, Journal Speak with Nicole Sax LCSW on Facebook. Join us there. Look up Journal Speak with Nicole Sax. You'll find us. But yes, if you go to eomega.org and put in my name, you can sign up for Omega. It's June 25th to 30th this year. So a lot more to come on that. Okay. So amazing to be with you. Thank you, Christine, for telling me off, because it was really a great subject for this podcast. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sax with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.